Porterhouse in Chicago's famous Hotel Sherman, we invite your family to join the millions of families from coast to coast and listen to America's favorite, Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club. And here is your Toastmaster, Don McNeil.
Good morning, Breakfast Clubber. Morning to ya. Welcome back early, just a hallelujah. It's first call to breakfast for all of you out there.
America, wake the breakfast posse is on me.
Well, welcome to the Breakfast Club on this Wednesday. We have on our platform this morning Laurie Parker, youngest candidate I know of, little gal 16 going on 17, sings real fine. Listen to her sing, "I'm Gonna Live Till I Die."
I'm gonna live till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take this town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live, live, live until I die. They're gonna say, I'm gonna play for the sky. Ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna live, live, live until I die. The blues I'll lay low. I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel. But until then, hallelujah, gonna dance, gonna fly. I'll take a chance riding high. Before my numbers stop, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live, live, live until I die. The blues I'll lay low, I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil until I'm an angel. But until then, hallelujah, gonna dance and gonna fly. I'll take a chance up there. Before my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live, 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 live until I die.
I think that's a real good idea for everybody, live till you die.
Well, yeah. I don't think you almost have to.
Yeah, you don't give any arguments on that, do you, Laurie? Laurie, what is your prime interest in school?
Well.
Boys?
No, not really.
No?
Getting out?
Yeah, that's about it. When 3 o'clock comes around, I'm just completely happy with school. Because I don't have to go back until the next day.
You're a junior?
No, I'll be going into my senior year.
You're going to senior
come
year.
September, yeah.
Well, good for you. Scooch Harper of Boise, Idaho, and Mrs. Martin Piper. She's from Little River Forest, Illinois.
Scooch?
Scooch? Scooch? I thought Scooch was
a boy.
Was a girl. Boy.
Which, I don't know.
Are you Scooch?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Scooch. How are you?
Pretty good.
You're a student where?
At Boise High.
I see. Are you going to be a senior, too, next year?
No, I'll be a sophomore.
Say, tell me, Scooch, have you ever had desire to do particular things and things you knew you shouldn't do, but like like assign wet paint, and, you know, you just wanted to put your hand there to see what it really was?
Yes.
Tell them about one thing you did.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, I was in the elevator yesterday, and the emergency stop button was there, so I pushed it.
You've always wanted to see what would happen when you pushed the emergency stop button. Well, what happened?
Well, it stopped, and all the bells started to ring, and I didn't quite know what to do, and then the elevator wouldn't start.
So there you were, stuck. Well, you found out, didn't you? Did they rescue you?
Well, there was a phone in the elevator, so I called the manager of the hotel. Oh. He told me what to do.
I would have told you what to do, too, if I were the manager. Not only what to do, but where to go in the elevator, you know. You're Mrs. Martin Piper, huh?
That's right.
Well, speaking of doing peculiar things, why did you set that tear gas bomb off in your office?
Well, I was trying to clean the desk for the boss. He was away, and I thought, well, before he comes back, I would get everything cleaned up nicely, and this little tear bomb switch was hidden behind the desk, so, which I didn't know.
Oh, this was for in case of burglars?
Yes. And,
oh.
So I picked it up and I thought, well, this is a peculiar switch. And I just pressed it because both ends had to go together, you know, and set it off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I heard a shot.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, I was in the back office and the shot went off in the front. So I ran to the front and here was a lot of smoke coming. And then I decided, well, that was the tear bomb, which we had wondered whether it was going to go off because it had been in there for 10 years.
And it worked.
It worked.
And then all the customers would come in the office, and what would they do?
Well, they came in there and they'd start talking, and then pretty soon they'd start wiping their eyes, and they didn't know what had happened because we told no one. And finally, the phone said, I don't know what's the matter. I'm crying. It just seems my eyes must be weak or something. And so we had to tell them that they did.
What kind of a place is this? What do you sell there?
Well, at that time, this was a coal office.
Oh, coal.
Yeah.
Give me 2 tons of coal.
It gives me an idea, though. For a program like this, we could have tear gas bombs, and we could have laughing gas, see? And when we want a joke to go over, press the button of the laughing gas, see? Or when something is real sad, the tear bomb, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, then you've given me a wonderful idea. Thank you very much, indeed, Mr. Piper. I'm looking at the world through cracked glasses.
I've said goodbye to Mr. Sorrow. How do you do, Mr. Joy? There's no need to worry about tomorrow. Look at me, and you'll see a soul as happy as can be. Because I'm looking at that world through rose-colored glasses. Everything is rosy now. I'm looking at the world, and everything that passes seems of rosy hue somehow. Why do I feel so spry? Don't wink your eye. Needn't guess, I'll confess. Certain someone just said yes. In a bungalow, all covered with roses, I will settle down, I vow. That's why I'm looking at that world through rose-colored glasses, and everything is rosy. Everything is rosy now.
Thank you, Dick. If I were elected, I think I'd promise that every 16-year-old girl should look like Laurie Parker.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be bad,
I'd
huh?
I'd vote for that, too.
Laurie, since you are of this tender age, I was wondering about your singing favorites of the male persuasion. Who are they, like Elvis Presley and...
Oh, no.
Oh, who?
I like Frank Sinatra.
He's the older type, though.
That's fine. I like him, though.
You do?
This
girl's going far with us.
Yeah. And, of course, Dick Noel.
Of course. He's the favorite, you know. Yeah. And I like Nat King Cole, too.
Yeah, well, I do, too. Well, you've got fine taste. I thought probably the young hep cats would.
Oh, they're awful.
They don't send you at all.
No. I don't like any of them, really.
That's Miss Robert Henricks of Blue Island, Illinois, to come up here if she would. Now, I was talking to a fellow one time. We were discussing the qualities of women, since I see so many of them here and have for so many years. And I said, now, which do you think has the better disposition, a redhead or a blonde or a brunette? And he said, it doesn't make any difference. He said, my wife's been all three, and she's miserable every time. Now, in your case, Miss Henricks, you wrote that your husband says he's the only man whose wife has been a natural redhead and a natural blonde in the 19 years of your married bliss.
Right.
Well, you're certainly a blonde now.
I know. Well, as the years went along, I became a blonde instead of a golden redhead.
Oh, you mean the years took care of it just naturally?
Just naturally.
Well, your husband had both a redhead and a blonde.
Yes, he did.
Well, isn't he lucky, though? Well, speaking of things coming in doubles, if you were elected, what would you promise?
2 Sundays a week.
One isn't enough?
No, it'd be nice to have 2.
Oh, I see. So you could have even more leisure time.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One for blondes and one for redheads.
Right.
Yes. Do you have a family?
Yes, I do. I have 2 daughters.
Well, naturally, it'd be 2. Yes. Thank you very much, Miss Henricks. 2 of everything, huh? That brings us to our hymn time with Dick Noel.
I was weak and weary. I had gone astray. Walking in the darkness, I couldn't find my way. Then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, and I was free from care. I found the answer. I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer. I learned to pray.
So each in his own words, each in his own way, for a world united in peace, let us bow our heads and pray. Time this morning, I'm continuing reading to you bits of philosophy from various great religions, edited by Leo Costin, that appeared in the June issue of McCall's. This is from the Muslim, called The Slave and the Philosopher. A pasha was crossing the sea in a fine ship when a terrible storm arose. And one of the Persian slaves, who'd never been off land before, began to weep and moan and cried out in such terror that no one could reassure him. And at last the pasha called out angrily, "Is there no one aboard who can quiet this coward?" And a philosopher who happened to be on the vessel said, "With your permission, sir, I think I can quiet this man." "Proceed," said the pasha. The philosopher observed the chattering slave and summoned several sailors and said, "Throw him in the water." So they threw the slave in the water, and he began to drown, thrashing about wildly, and his screams were terrible to hear. "Now pull him back aboard," said the philosopher. Sailors hauled the slave back onto the ship, and he clung to the deck, panting and frightened, but silent. The pasha, impressed but mystified, asked the philosopher, "How do you explain this?" And the wise man replied, "Before he had a taste of drowning, he could not appreciate the blessed safety of a ship. To the angels in paradise, purgatory is hell. to the doomed in hell, purgatory is paradise. Interesting bit of philosophy, huh? I'd like to talk to Thomas Blackburn of Fort Harrison, Indiana, please. Mr. Harrison, sir, you have an idea of a promise you would make if you were elected president? What would you promise, sir?
I'd promise a raise to the members of the armed forces.
A raise to the members of the armed
yes,
forces?
Sir.
And what do you do, sir?
I'm in the Army.
That figured, didn't it? Yeah. Yes, sir. Everybody's kind of interested in his own welfare these days, I guess. All right, let's have a song here. Carolina in the Morning, that ought to do it. There's a young lady here who came from a lot farther than that. New Zealand. Miss New Zealand in the recent Miss Universe contest, Miss Lorraine Jones. I'd like to speak to her. She's very pretty. Very cute. Comes from Wellington, which is the largest city in New Zealand. And your first visit here, Miss Jones.
That's right.
Mighty nice to have you here.
Well, it's very nice to be here.
We don't know too much about New Zealand. How large is it?
Well, it's about 1,000 miles in length, and it's about 103,000 square miles in area.
How many people there?
Approximately 2.5 million.
This is about, 1,000 miles from Australia or so?
It's 1,200 miles.
Uh-huh. Say, isn't it winter time down there?
Yes, it is. In some parts, it's even snowing.
Is that so? How cold does it get in your winter time?
Oh, it all depends what part of the country you're in, but some parts it snows and some parts will be quite warm.
A recent Life magazine article showed the amazing scenery there. It's very mountainous. What part of our country does it remind you of?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of San Francisco. I think the climate, the heat here really kills me.
You don't like the heat?
Oh, no, I think it's terrible.
Well, it's only been 86, 90, 95.
Oh, it never gets that hot where I come from.
Doesn't it get that hot?
No.
Well, when we have a pretty girl like that, we like to make it hot for you.
Well, I'm certainly having a lovely time here.
Are you?
Yes.
Say, you don't have much nightlife out in your New Zealand, do you?
No, we certainly don't. Our entertainment's more in our homes because our hotels close at 6 o'clock.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
And have you noticed any American men since you've been here?
Oh, I certainly have.
Do you like them at all?
Oh, very much, very much.
Have you got anybody waiting for you in New Zealand?
Oh, no, not really.
Is that so?
No.
So you're still looking, huh?
I'm still looking.
Yeah. Miss Jones, if you have a moment, I'd like you to sit up here with me, and I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about your customs down there. Would you mind?
That'd be very nice.
All right, sit up here then. Miss Jones, do our customs puzzle you at all? I don't suppose you have commercials in New Zealand. Here we are giving you stuff.
No, we don't really. Our radio stations are government-owned.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Well, Miss Jones, are any of our customs here at all very puzzling to you?
Oh, yes. I think this tea drinking, that's what worries me most.
The what?
Tea drinking. In New Zealand, we're great tea drinkers, and we haven't had a proper cup of tea since we've been here. Because we have those tea bags.
You don't like those tea bags?
No, we make it in a pot.
Oh, is that so? Oh. Well, we have both bags here, and then we have Sam, too. You're interested in the pot. I understand what you mean, though. Any other customs that annoy you?
Oh, yes, it's the tipping.
The tipping?
Yes, the tipping.
Nobody tips anybody in New Zealand?
Oh, very rarely. Only if you go to a place for dinner that somebody's giving you very good service, you might leave them something in appreciation, but Certainly not to the extent you have it in America.
I see. You just don't tip everybody every 5 minutes like you do here.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
Oh, the tax on you. You go to buy something and you get out your money and then they set it something else because of the tax. We have our tax already added on in New Zealand.
Oh, they're kind of sly there, aren't they? They put it on first, huh? Well, that's right. We have tax on just about everything here. Anything else?
Oh, well, I went out with a chap in New York and I said to him, well, what'll I wear, slacks or a frock? And he said, oh, he didn't know what to say. And he told me afterwards he didn't know what this frock was. He said, and you call it a dress here. We call it a frock.
That's right, we do. Well, whatever it is you're wearing, I like it.
Well, it's a frock.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, Miss Jones, you're a very charming representative of your country, of New Zealand, and cheerio to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Nice of you to visit us. Bye. Yeah. All right. Sergeant Michael O'Brien, please. May I have the pleasure of talking to you? He's with a group of Army sergeant, master sergeants, sergeant majors, the top Army recruiters in 13 states here on Army business. 9 of them with their wives. I think you brought yours, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, I know Sergeant Major Dulcey brought his, too. She's in the Army also.
Right? Yes, she is.
And very...
member of the Women's Army Corps.
Very attractive couple. Who, by the way, in that particular family, the Dulceys, where they're both in the Army, who gives the orders at home?
Well, that's a moot question.
Yeah, I imagine, too. Yeah. Well, Sergeant O'Brien, delighted to have you and all the rest of your recruiters here. I'll bet you between you fellas you've gotten literally thousands into the Army.
Well, we believe we have. I think we set a record here, but it's an easy thing to do when you represent the finest product in the world.
Well, you should.
And, we
you
have no do. Trouble doing it, especially when we enjoy our work like we do.
Well, good for you. One thing about it, as far as your wives are concerned, they've got to be ready and able to travel at all
yes,
times, don't they?
They're good soldiers also.
I bet you lived in how many places since you've been married?
Oh, since marriage,
yeah.
I've been very fortunate.
Well,
I've been just one.
Oh, but usually it's 6, 7, 8,
yes,
9,
sir,
10, 12, 14, yeah. They've got to be ready to go everywhere. You know Gene Gale, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Grand Junction, Colorado. Well, I tell you, you fellas really go after these recruits. He wrote on his card that he rode a horse 36 miles just to get a rancher's son to enlist in the Army.
Well, I believe that.
Yeah, you guys go after him, don't you?
Well, that's so.
Yeah. And then there's Jean Taylor. You know her? St. Joseph, Missouri. She's the wife of one of your recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting thing how she got her husband. He was a military policeman, and he arrested her, gave her her first traffic ticket, and later became her husband. Yeah. That's
you have a lot of spirit in our show.
Yes, you do. Yeah. It also shows that some of these military policemen, when they're dealing with a young lady, are not quite as hard-boiled as they appear on the surface.
No, sir, and there's a little bit more than justice skin.
Yeah. You betcha. And then there's Sergeant Mel Colby in your group from Grand Forks, North Dakota. Here's a guy who spent his honeymoon in a fish house. That's what he wrote. Do you know anything about that?
I'm probably fishing for more men.
Well, that could be. That could be, but that's what he wrote in there. Holy mackerel. Then, Sergeant, I looked at your card, and you asked me if I ever received a live grenade in the mail. I hope not. Did you?
Yes, sir. I received the grenade pin and was told I'd get the rest of it when the recruit came home.
Oh. Seriously, any of these guys that you've gotten into the Army, they haven't gone around looking for you afterwards.
No, sir. This is all in good fun.
I know that.
I think each and every one of them can't expound, can't talk about it, and can't be proud enough to be a member of the finest branch of service in the world.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Having a son in the Air Force.
Well, there's still time to re-enlist.
All right, let's get to Laurie Parker now with Remember Me to Jimmy.
Jimmy, and when you do, please ask him to along, you breakfast fathers, this ends our meeting. But once again tomorrow, you'll hear our greeting.
Yeah, tune in for more scoops tomorrow. Until then, this is your Toastmaster Don McKee and the whole gang saying so long and be good to your neighbor.
Don McNeil's Breakfast Club has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.